Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club during the 50 days of Easter, and we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other membership benefits like shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program on the donate page at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Isaiah, mighty seer in spirit soul, and saw enthroned in majesty the Lord. Around whose throne shone glory from his face, whose robe of light filled all the holy place.
The hymn Isaiah, mighty seer in days of old, recounting the call of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. What did Isaiah see? Why did he react the way he did? He thought he was going to die. And how does God respond to Isaiah's fear and trembling? Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson on the calling of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel, and for almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
What did Isaiah see in the vision that led to his calling?
This occurs in chapter 6 of Isaiah. It says that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Now, those were angels, and each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And they called to one another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So that's the vision that Isaiah saw of the Lord.
What should we make of the angels singing holy, holy, holy?
Yeah, notice there are three holies. Why? It reminds us of Genesis chapter 1, where God didn't say, let me make man in my image, but let us make man in our image. The three holies would refer, therefore, to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And those three persons of the Holy Trinity are found in the very first three verses of the Bible. God created the world, that's God the Father. The Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the waters. And then the next verse, and God said, let there be light. And we know from the Gospel according to St. John that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. That's Jesus Christ, because in chapter 1, verse 14 of John, and the Word became flesh. That's the incarnation of Jesus Christ. So we would teach and confess there are three holies, and that is the Lord of hosts. The word of hosts just means the armies of the Lord, and the whole earth is full of his glory.
So what was Isaiah's reaction to what he saw and heard?
Isaiah had the same reaction that almost everybody has when they see a vision of the Lord or they feel something really spectacular is happening. Remember, the shepherds feared. They only saw a vision of angels. And then Mary was told, do not fear, when Gabriel saw her. In other words, there is fear on the part of individuals when they are confronted by God. Martin Luther put that so well in the Catechism. We should fear, love, and trust in God. And what's that word fear referring to? Yes, it can refer to we should respect, but it also means that God has the right to send anyone to hell because of our sins. And so under the law, namely those who believe that they're saved by their works, there's a great fear of God because we're always failing in doing works that are sufficient to offset our sins. Under the gospel, that fear is taken away because Jesus no longer is judge. He now becomes Savior. And so it's not at all unusual that when the vision of God is seen by Isaiah, it says the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. The house was filled with smoke. Kind of reminds you of the fear the people had at Mount Sinai. There was thunderings and lightnings and great smoke and fire, and the people prayed to Moses, or asked Moses to pray that God would not strike them. And that's what Isaiah says. Woe is me, for I am lost.
So why does he think he's going to die after seeing the Lord in this way?
Because it's very clear from the book of Genesis, in the day that you sin, death is the result. And we're seeing that today in this country, even among Christians, even among Lutherans. As they get the virus, they're wondering, why is God doing this to me? Is there something I have done wrong? I mean, pastors can tell you many a time somebody will come to them and say, what did I do to deserve this? Even though on Sunday mornings, they often make a confession that they deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. And that was Isaiah's attitude, because he even explains, woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And so he's really afraid of God having seen him, because nobody can see God and lives. Even when God did appear to Moses on Mount Sinai, it says that Moses only saw the back of God. To see the front of God, to see who he really was, boy, that would really make a person be afraid. And that's the purpose of the church, is to calm those fears with the message of the gospel, which Isaiah is about to hear.
So how does God respond to Isaiah's declaration?
It's verse 6. One of the seraphim, that's the angel, flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. So even the angel wasn't able to touch the burning coal. He had to use tongs to get it from the altar. But he touched the mouth of Isaiah. And what did he say? Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for. Now, Scripture interprets Scripture. What is the angel saying here? The greatest altar that occurred with a sacrifice on it was the cross of Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus say on that altar? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. The idea that sin is atoned for, we call that the atonement. Just break that word up. At one meant. In other words, we become one with God. And that became very clear to the disciples. On the night of the resurrection, the first words Jesus said to them was, peace be to you. And that brought great joy because they were afraid. They were hiding in the upper room. Here they had, deserted Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, betrayed him, denied him, and now they heard he was coming back from the dead? Well, who would want to confront such an individual with which they had done many terrible things to? And so they were greatly afraid until he said, "Peace be with you." And that peace meant that the dividing wall of hostility between themselves and the Father because of their sin had now been taken down, and they were at one with God. In fact, to such a degree that on that very night, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. Whosoever sins you do not remit, they are not remitted. And so Isaiah experienced that same atonement, although in a metaphorical way, in which the burning coal from the altar represented Jesus Christ and his burning suffering on behalf of the people of the whole world.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the calling of Old Testament prophet Isaiah. When we come back, what message is Isaiah sent to proclaim? And when we get to Isaiah 52 and 53, we're hearing about the Lord's servant. How is he described?
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club during the 50 days of Easter, and we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other membership benefits like shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program on the donate page at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Have you ever wondered how we create our ornaments? Well, I usually come up with an idea early in the morning. I go to my office, draw a frightful stick figure representing what I'm imagining, send it through to our genius mind-reading graphic designer, who after a bit of interpretation creates my ornament. We laser cut it, give it a spa treatment with a soapy wash and a deep peel, tenderly dry it in a nice warm towel, then prepare it for sale. Come visit us to see how we make them, or visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Quality, quantity, qualified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memorization, that boring thing your pastor made you do during confirmation. Why do we do memorization? What value does it have when I can just look it up on the internet? Well, Pastor Brian Heller, chaplain at Lutheran Senior Services in St. Louis, explains why memory matters in the April issue of the Lutheran Witness. He talks about the great value as you age and get older of having these things, the Word of God, ingrained in your mind forever. Pick up your copy by visiting cph.org/witness today or visit our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Comfort yourself with Jesus' word that this life is only a little while. You're living in the little while of this life. Know that as tough as life gets, the Lord holds not only the beginning, but also the end of this world. He is the beginning and the end. Therefore, you need not fear what is in the middle because it lasts only a little while. Nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. A little bit from one of the devotions in our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. Words of Strength and Promise. You'll find out more about this devotional book at our website, issuesetc.org, and you can order Words of Strength and Promise from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. So, Tom, what message is Isaiah sent to proclaim?
It's an interesting message. One would think that he would be sent to proclaim that your sins are forgiven, etc., but we're dealing with a really disobedient people. And so the commission that he has received from the Lord is, you go to the people and you say, you know, you can keep on hearing, but you won't understand. You can keep on seeing, you do not perceive. And their people's hearts are made dull, their eyes are heavy, their ears are heavy, they're blinded are their eyes. And why is this all going on? Isaiah even says, how long, O Lord, am I to preach this law message? And the Lord says, until cities lie waste without inhabitant and houses without people and the land is a desolate waste. What's God doing here? Well, the northern tribes of Israel had been taken into captivity by the Assyrians, and the southern tribes of Judah specifically was going to be taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And this was due to not just the disobedience on the part of the people, but their unbelief. They were following false gods, etc. So the message of Isaiah at first was one very similar to that of John the Baptizer, who proclaimed a message of law to the people, indicating to them where they had fallen short of the glory of God. And what was the purpose of these kinds of messages by the prophets, John the Baptizer, and even Jesus himself, was to prepare people for the hearing of the gospel. Because who would want sins forgiven if they don't think they have any sins, which is a real problem in our country today among many who have fallen away from the church. They just disagree with the church, that they're as sinful as the church kind of points out that they are, and therefore they don't really have a need of a savior. They're a lot like the Pharisees in Jesus' day, who thank God that they weren't as bad as other people that they know, and instead were self-righteous. And that was the purpose of Isaiah's first message to them, to show that they were not self-righteous.
In Isaiah 52 and 53, they're talking about the Lord's servant. How is he described?
There's something about Isaiah that was very helpful, and it was mentioned in the Sunday school material put out by Concordia Publishing House, Enduring Faith. In fact, they say it this way: Isaiah is not only the Old Testament prophet most often quoted by New Testament authors, but some commentators have called his book the fifth gospel. Now, why do they say that? Well, we've looked at a lot of lessons here on Issues, etc., like David and Bathsheba. And it takes some work, as I always told my Sunday school teachers, where is Jesus in this lesson? Now, with David and Bathsheba, Jesus appeared because the prophet Nathan forgave David when he confessed his sins, and that was because of Jesus Christ. But in Isaiah, boy, Jesus is everywhere. It is really a fifth gospel of the Bible because Jesus is found everywhere, especially in these chapters 52 and 53. Some of the best verses here obviously are talking about Jesus. They say things like, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. So he was a regular looking human being. He was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. And then, this is verse 4 of chapter 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. So that's talking about the sufferings of Jesus throughout his life, rejected even by family members, by the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, and of course by the religious leaders. Yet, Isaiah says, we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. So the people of that day said, boy, he must be really quite a sinner, being crucified as he was. And then verse 5 of chapter 53 corrects us. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement, that means the punishment, that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. So what does Isaiah do here? He moves from what I like to refer to as the historical message of Christianity, namely, these are the historical events that happened to Jesus. But what Isaiah does, he gives the application of those events from a law and gospel point of view. Jesus didn't die on a cross as an example to us as to how we should suffer for other people, although that can happen, but he died on the cross for us, for me. And that's the message that ought to be in every sermon, that the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection was all done for us, including the specifics of the sufferings, death, and burial of Christ.
Why then do we sing that holy, holy, holy in church on Sunday?
We sing it because we also are giving praises to the Holy Trinity, which is really found in the Apostles' Creed. The first article talks about God the Father, the second about Jesus Christ, the third about the Holy Spirit. And what's most important is all of the elements of the Apostles' Creed, namely him suffering, him dying, are found in Isaiah, including the resurrection. That's found in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 11 and 12, that because of his death, by his knowledge, many will be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities, and I will divide him a portion with the many. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death. He was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sins of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Now, what did that intercession do? It gave them new life, and they too, all believers, will be risen from the dead.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. He met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the clarity and the sufficiency of Scripture with Dr. Corey Moss. How are those two related to one another? Dr. Corey Moss of Hillsdale College and Pastor Jonathan Fisk of The Bad Christian will lead us into teaching on Proverbs chapter 24, then its media coverage of religion with journalist Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Give your mom the gift of a clean home for Mother's Day with a gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. In St. Louis, call 314-416-8117. In the St. Louis Metro East, call 618-213-8296 and be sure to mention Issues Etc. Give the gift of time for your mom with a Mother's Day gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. 314-416-8117 or 618-213-8296.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.